This episode of How We Roll Podcast was filmed in front of a live audience on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/How We Roll Podcast.
Yesterday upon the stair, I saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish he'd go away. But when I came home last night at 3, the man was waiting there for me. But when I looked around the hall, I couldn't see him there at all. Oh, go away, go away. Don't come back anymore. Go away, go away. Please don't slam the door. Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Please just get on with the show. Yes.
Bartholomew, you awake, your eyes slowly coming into focus on a flickering naked bulb above you. You are dimly aware of your body being rigid and straight, no movement possible. Pulling your head upwards, you can see thick straps restraining you. Panic begins to build deep inside, sending waves of barely contained terror through your body. Twisting your limbs, slowly trying to keep calm, you turn, feeling the friction of the coarse fabric against your skin. The Spartan room around you is as stark as a desolate wasteland. Somewhere behind, the vaporous breath of a wheezing ventilation system coughs violently, then falls to a satisfied hum. The cold tiled chamber reeks of nightmares and madness that only the insane could stand. A distant scream of misery and pain echoes somewhere, and as it fades, you hear approaching footsteps. Then, the foreboding sound of heavy bolts being moved. The door to your cell creaks open, and a dark figure is silhouetted against the almost blinding light of the corridor beyond. You blink back tears as a man's face fills your periphery, his almost childlike, cherubic features, pallid skin and bald head, somehow horrific, forming a stark, unnatural contrast with his cyclopean size and obvious maturity of age. He opens his mouth, full of tiny, perfect teeth, and begins to speak.
Mr. Macario, I'm afraid you need to get up now. I don't want any more of what happened last time. We just need to get you into the wheel. And it's in the corridor. Go get it.
And James, that's the name you remember him as being.
Okay.
Do you want to get in the chair now, or do you want me to lift you?
Well, I do find myself a bit stiff, Jimmy. Perhaps you could lend a chap a hand.
Are you Mr. Macario today?
He sort of says offhand as he begins to wheel you down the corridor. Again, somewhere you hear a distant screaming.
I'm afraid I don't know.
Can you give me a listen check as he walks you towards a wooden door, kind of at the far end of the asylum, somewhere you've never actually been before?
I rolled an 83 against 50, so...
Okay, you can hear conversation, but it's not until you get pretty close to the door that you began to hear exactly the words. The first seems to be quite a friendly put one. You almost recognise the voice. An insanity plea has been refused by the court, and this is completely unacceptable, as he is both unaware and not responsible for his crimes. As you know, in 1922, the Supreme Court ruled it. States cannot execute a person who does not understand why he's being put to death. Counselor, he signed a confession. Here are his diaries, found in the burned remains of his house.
Your Honour, this notebook contains entries made just before the murders of the police officers in Innsmouth. It is important to note the spectacular changes in handwriting, style, and tone. Sir, what you are seeing here are the private thoughts of at least a dozen different people. With permission, the doctor here will elaborate. What we have is unfortunately no universally efficacious cure for dissociative identity disorder. In theory, we must attempt something difficult, and something we will attempt tonight. We are going to try an integration, a folding of the different psyches, if you will.
As you're wheeled into the room, they go silent, and you're led up to a stern-looking man who you believe is the man just speaking, the doctor.
Who am I speaking to?
He sort of bends down. There's four or five other people in the room. Most look unfriendly. You get the idea of perhaps law enforcement, perhaps something higher. There's a guy at the end who looks like he might be a judge.
Well, chaps, I must say, frightfully sorry, but I'm not entirely certain.
I need you to say who we are speaking to right now.
Well,
who do you think you are?
I believe I'm Bartholomew Ormond, but everyone keeps calling me different names. It's frightfully disturbing.
Bartholomew, you are here facing murder charges of the most serious. In 2 days, you will be executed, depending what happens here tonight.
And he turns to the judge at the end.
Your Honour, this man, I will prove, was not responsible for the deaths in Innsmouth. We must exterminate the rat, not the house.
Oh, shit.
The fuck just happened? Why the fuck?
Basically, he's going to be lobotomized or just killed.
I'm so glad I listened to our old episodes, or I'd be so lost right now.
I will say, so for anyone listening on the stream or in the podcast later, tonight's episode is completely standalone. So although we will refer back to previous episodes we've done, you do not need to go back and listen to them unless you really want to. Everything that's happened and will happen will be explained with itself. This is essentially a completely standalone episode that it's not so much a one-shot, because it does fit within the mythos and the legends that we're kind of developing, but you can start here.
Yeah. Definitely. This is kind of like a bad acid trip for all of us.
So, in another place, in another time, only as far away as the thickness of a shadow, Spencer Randall sits alone in his office, staring vacantly into the pouring November rain as it streams down the window. The blinking hazy red and orange city lights forming a warm prismatic glow across his warm and haggard features. His eyes are lost in deep shadows, befitting a man who has seen too much. Somewhere, in the distance, a radio plays the soft, lilting tones of Ishtar Jones's I See You in My Dreams. Spencer, you glance around slowly. Something is odd about the room, something unnatural, dreamlike. Details are missing, furniture looks misplaced, pictures blank. You reach for another drink, and suddenly the silence is shattered by the piercing ring of the phone, and you lose track of thought.
It's like walking around in a dream, like seeing things out of your peripheral vision. You can look at something, but the detail, the fine, you know, the detail on each item that you look at isn't quite there, and so when you look at an item, it doesn't really quite fit into the world and make sense, and this is jarring, and walking along almost making you dizzy. As soon as the phone goes off and pierces the silence, The glass falls out of my hand as I'm startled by it and smashes on the floor.
Spencer, is that you? How are you, dear friend?
I've forgotten the Lucas Mackey voice, so bear
with me. It's close enough.
Okay, it sounds like he's talking, like, his tongue doesn't move when he talks.
Sounds like Duncan to me.
That did sound like... Bender, is that you? How are you?
Do you want...
the best I'm going to do.
Do you want to have a couple of cracks at this?
I wouldn't mind if every D&D character after Lucas Mackey sounded like Lucas Mackey for a while. Lucas Mackey
kind of sounded like this.
Yeah, he wasn't that old.
Spencer, is that you?
There you go.
How are you?
There we go.
This will do.
Okay.
Spencer, is that you?
Oh, God, Lucas. How are you?
I'm good. I've had a development. How does a holiday sound? I feel the last few years have worn heavy on you.
I put down the decanter on the desk and wipe my brow with my forearm. Mackie, that sounds like a damn fine idea, if you ask me.
I'm afraid it's not somewhere warm, but Bartholomew has sectioned himself an exclusive sanatorium catering to the rich and run by Dr. Aldous Brewer. Have you heard of him?
Aldous Brewer. Brewer. No, the name doesn't sound familiar. Should I?
Well, he's a genius if you believe the stories. Well, maybe a con artist if you believe his peers. Anyway, Bartholomew has requested your presence. Why don't you go out there, have a rest? It's a pretty high-class establishment if what I hear is true.
Well, in all honesty, I really could use some time off at the moment. Things are getting on top of me. It's been one hell of a last few months. And
you don't sound well, Spencer. Is there someone that could drive you to the docks?
No, it's fine. I'll just
clear my
head.
What about that Finn Anders? He knew Bartholomew, right? They had a deal going a while back.
Yeah, we did work on some cases together. All right, I might call Anders.
No, not you and Anders, Bartholomew and Anders. They knew each other. Some sort of deal to do with weapons or booze or something.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They knew each other, and obviously we've all worked together in cases before.
Something big is coming, Spencer. A few months, we're going to have to get you out in the field again. Recover. Take it easy, my friend.
I just need a few weeks R&R should clear my head.
Shadows in the room grow and twist. When they fade, we are in another place entirely. And we are with Curran's character. We're in England. Curran, do you want to describe who you are?
I am a 23-year-old dilettante named Oz, and I am obsessed with the occult. Well, not the occult necessarily. Yeah, so I should say I'm the occult and education, and generally I'm trying to discover more about hypnosis. I'm infatuated by the concept. It's probably the reason why I have a pocket watch. And I managed to find an actual pocket watch for all the viewers, you see.
Nice.
So props, apparently, will be used here today. That's about
okay.
It, yeah.
So I don't know where in England you're staying. I think we talked about maybe Oxford or Cambridge or somewhere like that.
We could make a Curran's actual home address. You should get your home address to the internet, Curran. That would work fine.
Okay, so you'd been in contact with the Dr. Brewer of Boston, Massachusetts. He's a bit of an expert. We'll talk about that later, but here's a letter that you've received.
So glad to hear you can accept my invitation to visit. I am looking forward to showing you the latest developments in my research. I am also anxious to bring you up to date with my experiments. There's been several more exciting developments since the publication of my article in the Journal of American Psychological Society. A few months back, I trust you've read it. There will be a few surprises too, you can count on that. My isolation on our island retreat is quite tolerable. The staff and I think of ourselves as a family. Old Ebenezer, you'll meet him on the ride over, is always ready to ferry one of us over to the mainland if we should feel the need to touch base with civilization. This summer, we were also blessed with a regular dinner companion in the form of a Mr. Shelley, a graduate student from Princeton. He is camped on the north beach of the island, conducting some sort of bird study. I'm sure you'll find him witty and pleasant. Looking forward to seeing you, Dr. Aldous Brewer.
Okay.
Do you think that your character would have read the article in the Association of American Psychological Society?
I would say yes.
It's quite long if you want to bear with me. So I can give you some excerpts. There's a few paragraphs.
Everybody make notes. I can't do this alone.
Okay. So here is the excerpt from the Dr. Brewer's article from earlier on in the year.
If we accept for a moment that the theory that collective unconsciousness is the source of all myth, then we have to ask if it is not possible to consciously tap into the source. Experiments with hypnosis, sometimes combined with powerful new drugs, have shown some evidence to support this. Subject A showed little response to any treatments, but B was quite positive. Not only were unsuspected areas of knowledge revealed during these sessions, but at times the subject demonstrated an entirely different personality. This personality, on the few occasions that it was observed to emerge, used archaic, almost biblical syntax, perhaps indicating a true archetypical form may have been reached. This personality was very powerful and almost compelling, causing one to wonder if the phenomena such as this is not the explanation for the possessions of the Middle Ages, and in more recent times, the voodoo cultists in the Caribbean.
And for some reason, the end of your article is missing. Maybe spilt coffee on it or ruined in the rain or something. There is more, but unfortunately you don't have access to it at this point.
Oz loves nothing more than reading his psychological books in the rain, does he? Just sing miserably.
Okay, so you travel... across the Atlantic, arrive in New York. You can describe your journey if you want. Is there anything you would do along the way? Stop? Have you got friends, acquaintances, things you wish to do?
No, I think it's I'm just going to go straight to the destination. Let's just say I got seasick. Why not?
Okay.
For dramatic effect.
Maybe a few weeks, maybe even months later, you arrive on the New England coast on a grey dock on a... cool November afternoon. Looking out across the sea, you can't see where the grey skies end and the grey sea begins. Dark clouds swirl in a tumult of stormy air above. Dark waves swirl below, crashing into the iron grey dock. You lean into the gale, feeling white salt spray crashing into the seawall. Through squinting eyes, you see two figures on the dock ahead. And these two figures are Dave's character, Finn Anders, and Aaron's character, Spencer Randall.
Come for a holiday, he said. It'll be nice, he said. Have you seen this at all? If I wanted rain, wind, and waves, I could have gone back home to New York. What the fuck is this?
Hey, I didn't see you complaining when I said, come with me for a holiday.
Just terribly gloomy.
Nice to meet you. Who are you?
I'm Oz. Pleasure to meet your acquaintance. And you are?
Oz. That's a good name. I'm Finn Anders.
Pleasure to meet you, Anders.
I'm Spencer Randall.
One of Boston's finest.
I would imagine so. Spencer, you say? And what is your profession?
I'm a PI. Me and Anders here are going to see an old friend of ours.
He likes to play cop. I am a cop.
You wouldn't by chance happen to be friends with Aldous Brewer?
Brewer? some geezer. We knew back. I'm new back in the day.
In the distance, a tiny motorized boat battles through the raising waters. As it docks, its ancient captain clambers nimbly to the dock, foam and water streaming over his ruddy face, grey beard and well-worn oilskins.
Arr, how are you doing? Are you travelling over to the island tonight?
I believe we are, yes.
Yeah, but I don't remember booking the pirate experience tour.
Arr, you are a good one, you Bostonian folk. Is it just the three of you? I heard there was a fourth.
No, just the three, as far as I'm aware. Yes, who are you, sir?
Good question. I'll check my notes.
Ooh, live in the pineapple under the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants.
I can't hear you.
The name's Ebenezer. Ebenezer, I work for Dr. Huxley. Live up on the island. Have done for a few years now. It's a fine place. Friendly little family we all are. And the guests themselves, a strange bunch, but mostly friendly at that. Come on up. Jump on.
The boat is small, rickety, pretty reasonably well made, but gazing across the storm-swept skies and the rough seas, you do wonder how easy you're going to find it to make the island, which is not visible.
Oh, give us your bags. I'll take them for you. It's what I'm paid for, after all.
Are you sure we couldn't leave later? Possibly tomorrow morning or something? Because I wasn't feeling particularly well on the journey here, and I don't particularly like the looks of the weather.
Unfortunately, the weather for the next few days is looking poor. You can come now, or you can come next week. It's all the same to me.
Well, fine, so be it.
Give us your bags there, young sir.
Here you go.
Where are you from? Are you from France?
Fuck off.
That's amazing.
I'm actually from Oxford, you imbecile.
Oh, where's that? Is that somewhere down south? I've heard of it, Oxford.
South of Italy. Okay, fine.
Okay, he's awfully keen to be as helpful as possible in his kind of bumbling way, and is very keen on carrying your bags, and he sort of stacks them up one by one, and he begins to try and get the outboard motor in his boat going. Can I ask all of you to roll spot checks?
Do you mean spot hidden?
I didn't get hard success.
I rolled a Spencer. 90 against 50.
Boom, roll a
Spencer
6.
Rolled immense. 85 though,
that is just, yeah. Okay, Oz, you're looking around, maybe looking at the sea, sort of feeling a bit queasy. Fernandez, you're maybe distracted by the way that Ebenezer is treating your luggage and maybe your shoes. I remember they were quite highly polished, yes, and expensive. You worry about your cobbler.
Don't want to get any salt water on my spats.
However, Spencer, you see in the distance a young man running and shouting down the, what would it be, like sort of the pier towards you, the seawall in the distance, shouting to stop. But no one else seems to have noticed him, and the captain is starting up the boat.
I put my hand on the shoulder and say, hang on there. Hang on there.
We need to go now, or we're going to be late. I'm a little bit worried about the tide and the currents around Innsmouth.
Those things that happened in the sea.
Hang on, there's a guy coming down the pier. He wants to get us and point over towards the pier.
Hold the boat, hold the boat. Hey, guys, I need to get that boat. I need to get the boat, hold the boat.
A fourth passenger. Jump aboard, you be hardies.
I'm going to stop this pirate voice.
Please tell me I don't need to roll for jump.
Have a bottle of rum.
Tell me I don't need to roll jump because I have terrible experience with that.
Please do give me that rum.
Please make him roll jump.
I'd like you to roll something. Give me a dexterity check as the boat sort of rocks in the waves.
So I'm basically like running to the end of the pier and just trying to jump as it clears the last of the pier. Against 60 dexterity, I will roll a 64 in turn. Can I push the roll to try and grab the side of the boat as I slip?
So,
You've got two choices. At the moment, the way that we do failed jump rolls, they don't end in something bad. They just end up with a fail. So basically, you stop yourself at the last minute, and the boat is going further and further away. If you want to push the roll, if you succeed, you'll make it. If you don't, then something poor will
happen. Push it.
Push the roll. So I'm going to push it, but can I say that as I jump, I'm going to just not stop my jump. I'm going to just slip and try and recover midair, so I catch the edge of the boat.
Nice. For those of you that haven't played Call of Cthulhu before, if you fail a skill roll, you can either have it not working, or you can push it, but you have to describe how you're trying to make it work. So that's a perfect
I'll actually go one better. I'll push it, and if I succeed, I just land on the deck and slide into a group of people, knocking like human skittles, with like no real damage done. That's my success. The failure that you...
They're all on the boat right now, and the boat is kind of coming away from the dock.
I got a 67 versus 60 the second time.
So something pretty terrible is happening. We could outsource this to chat.
Let's outsource it to chat. I like the idea of what should happen to me.
Okay, so chat, what should happen with a failed push roll trying to jump into a boat?
That's just slowly pulling away from the dock. I've ran down the pier and I've jumped.
Oh, slipped. He gets his head in a propeller.
Oh, Jesus, Ryan, give me some bit of benefit. I was so
Lachlan has no mercy.
He said exactly what I was about to say. Damn it.
I was just going to say, jump, land on the other side, but slip and just, crush his groin against the
Can we make it a big paddle wheel boat and I just go around the paddle wheel repeatedly?
Okay, I think we're a bit early in for deaths and for broken things.
I don't want to beat my own.
I think we're going to go with Hunthro's idea that you land in the boat but with one leg outside.
Nobody got time for that.
Soaking wet. And when you pull your leg out, you realise you are missing a shoe.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a testicle. Took the way I landed.
Did you pack spare shoes? Realise you can't just add gear when you want.
We need to get going. I'm afraid you may need to borrow something from Dr. Aldous. It won't be long.
And the boat begins to chug away.
And I say we beat up the pirate and get down.
Well, I've already
it's
taken
Johnny
the
Johnny Hawk, not Falvey. Come on, get it right. We're role-playing.
So, this is a good opportunity for you guys to introduce yourself.
I'm Fernandez. I'm a New Yorker. I ended up in Boston due to a certain series of misunderstandings with some of the local business owners back home. Hard as nails cop, always carry lots of weapons. Very snappy dresser. I got spats, camel skin, camel hair, suit, waistcoat, pinstripe, moleskin coat. Very sort of dapper, very obviously living well beyond my means. Sort of dirty, hairy, corrupt, dirty, hairy.
Hi, I'm Spencer.
Sorry, I think I've done this wrong. I think I meant to do it in character.
Yeah, I was like,
to
guys, does anyone think it's weird he's describing his personality in third person?
Should we start that again?
I find it rather peculiar, but I think it would be quite interesting to study.
Well, do you want to try that again then, and we can just edit that last bit out?
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, we're not gonna edit it out. That's amazing.
The boat pulls away from the docks, and the captain skillfully navigates round the large, intrepid waves, and you head towards the distant, invisible island.
I'm afraid we'll have to take a longer route. Unfortunately, there's a large destroyer off the coast of Innsmouth. It's been there for a year or so, but we want to stay out of their way.
Hey, yes.
Do you have any idea why?
Spence, didn't you end up, didn't you do something in Innsmouth? You were telling me one day when you were, in your cups.
Am I right in saying there's mermaids off Innsmouth? Friend of mine,
and he touches something.
Is it himself?
Under his coat, maybe? Like he touches his throat as if holding on to something.
Friend of mine says the mermaids there. Not ones you'd want to meet on a dark night, if you know what I mean.
Typical A-type delusions.
Well, interesting. Maybe we'll go a little closer to Innsmouth and you can see it for yourself.
Probably Spencer's face is visibly paled at this point.
I'm trying to keep my eye level above his waistline, not watch him fiddle with himself.
So just a minute for a second, Joe.
under his shirt, not at his crotch. Like he's touching a cross
or
something.
Yeah,
it
sounded dodgy.
Not...
Well, he's tied to one of his fucking mermaids.
No, he's touching something under his shirt, his collar, like a necklace or something like that. It looks like, anyway.
But just a meta, so the experiment, the American Psychological Journal, was it you called it?
Yes, so the Journal of American Psychological Society.
Well, yeah, that one. I mean, tell people to know what I said. But
have you not got your copy? My
but I'm assuming that the study is happening on the island we're going to, correct? No? So
yes,
my reason
yes.
for going would be then... Okay, I can explain the character. I just wanted to make sure that I was correct with that. So, back to character then, out of the myth, I guess. So folks, why are you all here on this boat? I mean, my name is Johnny Hook. I'm here for New York's weekly occult... Give me a magazine name. We'll edit it after.
Just while you're doing it, can I ask, particularly Aaron and Dave, can you just check the Skype chat?
So guys, I work for an occult magazine. Give me a sexy occult magazine name and I'll edit in we'll edit in after.
But ask the chat.
Literally just did.
How about the occult review?
The occult review, give me sexier than that. I want like the bi-weekly New York occult review or something. Oh, spooks and scoops. Boom! Ghost Crate's got it. Done. Competition over.
Spooks and scoops.
That does sound
racist.
That does
I'm
sound like
coop.
It does sound a bit like coops and scoops. Like, this is a bit too close. But anyway. So, I'm going to have several different voices because I am a little lit already with my two or three whiskeys in. So, hello, folks. I'm Johnny Hook. I write for Spooks and Scoops out of New York, the occult magazine. I'm here to investigate collective consciousness in the study done in this sanatorium. Why are you folks here?
I don't know. I'm tagging along with a friend, you know. Needs a bit of a driver, you know. His cars always end up in a tree.
I was personally invited by Aldous Brewer, the head of the entire institution.
Aldous Brewer, the man who wrote this, and I pull out the... Psychological Weekly Monthly Review book thing. I can't remember the name of already.
Fascinating read.
You can introduce me to this man? It's a fascinating study. I mean, I've heard there's legends and rumors of shared consciousness with ayahuasca and the Aztecs and the Peruvians sharing common experiences of aliens and other beings on their trips. I'm fascinated by the subject. And my occult and otherworldly magazine Spooks and Scoops.
Spencer.
To the tutorial next week.
Finn leans over to Spencer and just says, Spence, how do we end up with these crazy Irish people in their stupid theories?
Again, I'm blaming you for this.
Hey,
so what's
there,
new?
French boy, over there, do you see that black spot on the horizon?
I'm not French, but yes.
That's Devil Reef. If you glance beyond it, here, take this.
And he offers you like a really sort of stereotypical pirate telescope.
Look at the coast.
Grab it.
Look at the coast.
Yonder.
Okay.
Land ahoy.
You see Innsmouth, and a shiver sends down your spine. It's a town of wide extent and dense construction, yet one with pretentious dearth of visible life. From a tangle of chimney pots, not a single wisp of smoke comes, and the three tall steeples loom stark and unpainted against the seaward horizon, crumbling and vacant.
A few months ago, beginning of the year, something terrible happened in that town. And ever since...
And he points towards the sea, where you see a modern destroyer ship anchored off the shore.
That ship's been there since. Watching Devil Reef. Terrible place. Terrible place.
He turns back to the ocean.
Isn't there legends of this place, Captain? I'm sorry I missed your name. Isn't there legends of mermaids and sea people in Innsmouth?
There are indeed. There are indeed. Although, as I said, what I've heard, one of the old captains in the dog, a swarthy sea dog by the name of Hook, due to the fact he likes to have a good
fuck? I literally made the same point in chat with Johnny Hook, the man everyone wants to be friends with.
He said he saw one, but not a pretty thing. Green and scaly, coming out of the oceans. He scarfed that night. He won't go back. That's why we're giving Innsmouth a wide berth. It'll be about an hour away, I'm afraid.
Wide berth? Has there been sinkings or disappearances in the past? I mean, is it mere superstition, or have you reason to avoid it?
He tucks his hand again to his throat.
You go too close and the Coast Guard warn you off. I don't mean with kind words. I mean with the destroyer's guns.
Can I see in my knowledge of legend and occult of the area being... It's not local to me, but it's in my region, so my magazine would cover stuff like this. Might understand why he might be touching his neck or anything with my occult?
No, but you will know. You can use an occult check to find out about Innsmouth.
That will do. Versus 70, I rolled 95. Owen Felby playing no. RPGs.
Somehow the rumours, newspaper articles, and everything that's gone on over the last few months has missed passed you by. But if anyone's interested, you can check out our two Innsmouth podcasts at www.howwerollpodcast.com.
Sly.
Is there anything you guys want to talk through in character before we get a bit closer to the island?
The whole while we're going past the Innsmouth harbour and everything, I'm looking very uncomfortable the whole journey.
Like seasick.
I'm gonna keep looking at the pirate. I'm gonna say, where is it? I'm gonna look over towards Finn. There's something really not right about that man. He keeps reaching towards his pocket. And then I'm gonna roll a psychoanalysis.
So the way that psychoanalysis works is a full-on therapy session.
All right. So you can. So can I psychology?
I can drive the boat. It's fine.
The main way you want to do psychoanalysis if people have lost sanity, you can actually spend a few days helping them recover sanity. So it's a really useful skill.
I never would have taken it otherwise.
but you can do a psychology skill. That's sense motive.
No, it's no good. Because it's only on 10, that's why.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say to each other to establish a bit more of a rapport, or should we move on?
I've gone into three different voices of this character already. You two gentlemen, why are you holidaying together on the remote islands? What is your reason for going?
I do find this rather peculiar.
There is
myself.
So it's 1920s, high levels of real right wing skepticism coming out. I know I'm a left wing, not left wing, but an alternative occult loon. I'm probably homophobia is pretty strong in, Boston, New York area at this time. It's but why are you folks going to a secluded island alone with a very suspect pirate? I mean, if he was to form a band, this pirate would have a construction worker, native Indian, policeman in his group.
Yeah, we're just going to see an old friend. Bart got himself locked up here a couple years ago.
He's not feeling too well, and we're going to go see how he is and hopefully see if he's any better.
Well, if he's in the hands of Aldous Brewer, I can guarantee you he should be able... Well, if no matter what's wrong with him, I do believe he will potentially make a full recovery. He is the best.
What do you know of this
truly
guy?
Truly the best. Well, I know that... you see, he recently published an article discussing how he... combined hypnosis with drugs, and was capable of tapping into the inner psyche of particular patients. It wasn't immediately effective on all patients, but on those that it was, they would be using biblical syntaxes and similar to things that you would imagine would be akin, I suppose, to descriptions of possession in the Middle Ages.
Okay. Hey Spencer, you understand anything he just said?
I was hoping you'd be taking it in.
Just kind of smiling. Well, I know I'm the brains of the operation, but still.
Well, no, I mean, you're just here to make me look good by comparison.
Okay, I'm going to move this on if it's okay. Just going back to what Brewer did, so the idea is he believes that when you hypnotise someone and take them back, sort of regress them back into personalities, you're not so much regressing them to a different personality but to a past life. And what he's managed to prove, or believes he's proved, is when he's managed to hypnotise patient A and patient B, they're actually have given knowledge that only someone of that past life could have given and spoken in that way and in that dialect and stuff. So it's if true, then interesting stuff. The waves grow so large that your tiny vessel is dwarfed, riding up and down the mighty swelling sea like a child's toy. Inside the boat, you cling on for dear life as you are flung brutally from side to side. There is no mercy from the cruel November wind, no grace in the peaks and troughs of the cyclopean waves, only wrath and tempest. The air is thick with a briny mist, the tiny deck awash with salty waves. Through a gap, you spy the island ahead, its shores a rocky mouth of jagged black teeth. It's going to be a miracle if we make it. Hold on, boys! And I need you guys to make me checks.
I'm currently, so with my journalist, I've got Trilby and Mac is what I'm wearing. I've got a Remington typewriter, a small little one, kind of strapped over my shoulder like a satchel, and a camera around my neck. I'm kind of going to just hold my my Remington typewriter camera and just kind of dexterously try to like roll with the deck as it rocks back and forth, kind of just walk my way through it, if that makes sense.
Nice. Okay, give me your roll
so
first.
First 60, I rolled a 75. I've rolled 5 rolls. I failed 5 rolls. I am a god.
Okay, you are going to start going overboard.
Haven't you pushed a roll yet?
I need this is to hold on. Okay. So I need you to give me a push roll.
Oh my god.
And I need to describe how you're doing it or you're going over.
Okay, I am. Oh man, how would I do this? Let's role play this. Let's not power.
I didn't
this.
Roll first. I knew this.
I
would
was
happen.
Okay, so I'm trying to walk through it. I've stumbled forward and so I'm expecting then the boat to rear up, and I kind of brace myself forward against it, and then the opposite happens, so the deck drops and I stumble forward, kind of hit the side of the boat, tumble over it, and I try to reflex grab the railing, I guess, again.
Okay, give us a dex roll.
70 versus 60. 6 out of 6 fails.
Okay. Everyone else, the boat hits a swell and Johnny Huck flies overboard. And I'm going to need each of you guys to give me rolls to stay on board too.
I'm just holding on for dear life with the strength check, just grabbing sort of the railings or something, if there are railings on the side of the boat. And I roll a natural 1.
Wow.
I hate you so much.
I got all of your luck.
You grip the rail so hard that it actually snaps off in your hand. And you
That's
fly over.
That's a typical Joe move. It's like you rolled too well. Now you must suffer.
Okay. The salty driver, the salty sailor, I should say, has rolled a 95. He slips and...
Oh, geez.
He goes overboard. No, it's gigantic.
No! Not again!
without him at the helm, the boat begins to capsize. I need Spencer and Oz, you need to save yourselves and your tiny vessel.
Falling off a boat that's capsizing might be better.
Are we just using strength checks for this?
It's however you'd like to stay
right
on board.
There's... screwed into the deck of the ship, there's the big iron ring that attaches to the chain of the anchor of the boat, and I'm holding on to the big central ring that is kind of riveted into the deck of the boat, and holding on with both my hands and gripping hard. And let's see what I get it do.
Boom! Propeller.
Ooh, a 32.
Propeller to the
that's
base.
That's a hard success.
Nice. Okay, with a hard success, I'm going to say that you can come up with a way, if you can, of stopping the boat from capsizing. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it?
So, God damn, how do I describe this?
Yeah, that's a pretty epic thing for one man to do by holding a
it
ring.
It would be, wouldn't it?
You've got to imagine, this isn't like a huge... I think you're imagining something a lot bigger than this is. I mean, this is like, it's only slightly lower than a rowboat.
Also, like, it's like a rip, it's like a small little...
Oh!
When I said tiny vessel, I literally mean a tiny vessel.
It's not
vessel.
Like a small fishing like boat. It's more like a,
right, yeah, right.
An outboard motor okay. type job.
That makes...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes your groin being smashed when you try to jump onto the boat.
Oh, goddamn. Well, it doesn't really back up my anchor chain theory, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, we'll gloss over that. While you're thinking of it, Curran, Oz, how are you? Can you make your roll? How are you going to survive?
I am going to use my dexterity to jump towards Spencer, and I'm going to grab onto him as I get kind of rocked back and forth. So, dex roll. Oh!
Hard success. Very nice.
Hard success. 27 out of 60.
Okay, between the two of you, you managed to get the tiny vessel under control. Right now, I need the people that went overboard, including the captain, to give me swim rolls.
Just while we're doing that, I love chat. It's like... quick twist. The boat was just a metaphor. There was never a boat. The island was on another island. It's just like lost references and shit.
I've managed to keep myself up with a 20.
I have 69 versus 20. Failed 7 out of 7 rolls. I'm going to keep this count going.
And you sink. Goodbye.
Okay, guys, can you give me spot roll to see if you've noticed Johnny Huck sink? So if you're swimming in hard water like this, you actually need hard
Are
successes.
We assuming that my torch is now dysfunctional and broken, I would assume?
Yes. Fernandez, you have no idea where Johnny Huck disappeared to.
95 versus
Johnny
50.
Huck. Nobody gives a fuck about
for the sake of the recording. Can I re-describe how I'm holding onto the boat?
No. Otherwise, please, for the sake of my editing, no chance.
it's going to screw your editing up. It's going to sound awful.
I'd rather just delete the word anchor than try and re-edit this sentence to appear 3 minutes before.
So you'll edit the word anchor chain out, and you'll put a word in yourself. So it would be me speaking, and all of a sudden it'd be your voice going. Railing. I'll just carry on.
Right, it's happening. So, sorry, can you make spot references to see if you can see poor Johnny Huck?
Can I make some sort of push roll to see if I can shout?
No.
One will die.
With how you're rolling, don't push. Or you will.
I would have to roll a second character before we actually start the story. Is the worst thing.
How far away is he from the boat?
You have no idea.
You have no idea. You gotta spot him first.
Okay, I failed.
Not only does Owen fail rolls, Owen set associated rolls all fail. That's 9 rolls associated with my character.
Oh wow! Even I failed.
10 rolls associated with saving me failed.
Okay, the captain's your last chance.
The highest spot hidden. In the game.
Where is that guy? He's over there! Get him!
And the captain, who's now taken control of the tiller, so I rolled a 20 out of 100 to spot you, he's taken hold of the tiller and is trying to control the boat, but the waves are hitting it from all sides, and he gestures towards a rope that's attached to the prow.
Someone.
The front, isn't it?
The bow.
The pointy bit of the boat.
That's the bow. What did you call it? The prow?
Yeah,
no. The bow.
It's the bow.
I think that's
it's the
correct.
Bow.
No. I demand you Google
chat,
this right now.
Everyone tell George
the prow of the boat is the forwardmost part of a ship's bow that cuts through the water.
Oh, he did Google reference parts of the boat. Okay, fair enough.
I just have now, and I was right. It's attached to the prow.
Okay. I thought he was right.
That's like saying that, like.
Whatever, it doesn't sound right to me.
You just
still,
went like the real
whatever.
Detail. That's like saying the tip of something instead of saying the helmet.
Doesn't matter what it's called! Grab the rope and save your buddy!
It's the bell end of the boat.
The mushroom.
The bell end of the boat.
That's the bit the bell is tied to, right?
Thanks for listening. If you want to check out our next episode right now, check out our Patreon page, which you can find through our website, howwerollpodcast.com. Before we go, we want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards.com. They make premium music and sound effects designed for tabletop games. And if you want your game to sound like How We Roll Podcast, check out BattleBards.com. We also want to say a huge thank you to those who have written us iTunes reviews this week. So
iChart Games, Diab Soli, and Pauly Roz, thank you so much for your excellent reviews. Now this episode, in fact the whole scenario, set up slightly differently from our previous games. First of all, Dave's previous character, Bartholomew Ormond, will be featuring throughout the next few episodes as an NPC, but played by Dave. While recording this, Dave had no idea of the wider story and implications, but was given enough information to play out each scene that Bartholomew was involved in any way that he wished to. It's not something I've done before as Keeper, but hopefully you'll see why I've chosen to do it this way as the episode and the scenario goes on. Next, when choosing their characters, the players were told they could play their previous investigators, such as Spencer or Finn, or that they could choose new characters like Owen and Curran did with Oz and Johnny Huck. But the proviso that I said is whoever they chose had to know Bartholomew Ormond and had to have a reason for being on the island with the Senatorium. Next, it's also worth knowing that this is a really low sanity game, where every character only has 25 sanity points rather than the 50 or more that new characters could have. This will have severe impact on gameplay later, as you'll hear, and it creates a really fantastic... Well, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see later. We're really proud of this scenario. Hope you enjoy it. See you next week.